Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. In the past decades, we have all become aware of and affected by dramatic changes in technology. Our guest believes today's changes go much deeper. In fact, he says we are living in the midst of an ethical revolution. It's powered by a need to change how we interact with all living things, says our guest, Dr. David Orr. He's an environmental educator focused on environmental literacy and campus ecology. Dr. Orr believes the challenges of the 21st century will require us to revolutionize education in response to new demands in a postmodern age. He starts with the buildings in which our young people are educated. David Orr is not just a talker. He is the creative genius behind the Lewis Center for Environmental Studies at Oberlin College. Dr. Orr places his hope for the future in learning.
It's a mysterious process, and we never know quite what happens within the mind and how certain things happen in the mind, and so we have to honor the mystery and the dignity of each individual to carve their own path. This generation of young people has an unbelievable number of assets and an unbelievable number of problems and challenges. We've never been here before. This will be the time in which we turn toward a very different future, or we fall into some level of catastrophe. I don't think it's too much to say that.
David Orr has a PhD in international studies and is a professor and director of environmental studies at Oberlin College in Ohio. Dr. Orr is currently focused on ecological design. Among Dr. Orr's books are Earth in Mind and Ecological Literacy. He serves on a number of boards, and his numerous awards include a National Conservation Archie. Aware of Dr. Orr's conviction that today's education must change, Bill Russell and I traveled to Oberlin, Ohio. It was the dedication of the Lewis Center for Environmental Studies and a chance to interact with a genuinely remarkable man, David Orr. David Orr, life is full of surprises. It would not have occurred to me to come to a small town in the northeast part of Ohio to find, in the midst of a small college, a revolution going on, much less a revolutionary. And I wouldn't have thought that you would be it. What a nice surprise. Do you think of yourself as a revolutionary? Because a lot of other people do.
No, I don't. I think of myself as somebody who is having fun. I'm a teacher. I'm a college professor. I work in a realm of ideas, and I think the thing that I enjoy most is being something of an academic entrepreneur and helping to move ideas across this chasm from where they're generated to where they hit Main Street. And that's something we don't typically in the academy do as well. Now, if that's revolutionary, I'm not revolutionary. You think of somebody who's a bomb thrower and so forth. And I see myself as enjoying to work with people, but solving problems and working on projects and seeing ideas become reality.
Well, no kidding. And thinking about revolutions, the academy, as you call it, correctly, of course, came out of the church 500-600 years ago. It was a...
That's a scary thought.
But it's true. It is an institution that grew directly out of the Catholic Church before the Reformation.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason the scholasticism is scholasticism.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if one thinks about that legacy of 500 years, which is couldn't possibly be more a seat of authority than that, then bringing this these ideas to the marketplace of ideas, that is revolutionary. What are you doing, another Reformation on me here?
And you know what happened to the people that did that? think about that before you answer.
I'm starting to get nervous. Is this interview about over?
No.
We're not really recording this either.
We're just warming up.
Isn't that some of the excitement of what you're doing, is that for 500 years the Academy wasn't very interesting?
I think that's a very good point, and I think that one of the...
I can hear screams all over the world when I say that, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think that one of the things that's happening is that the academy is going to get reinvented. And we've been through a period of time where government was reinvented, at least we talked about it, and corporations are reinvented, and we've reinvented or trying to reinvent agriculture, and lots of things are shifting as we find out more about the world. And what stayed the same? Education. Take out computers, and what we do, at least in higher education, is about the same thing that we did in 1950. And that's not going to be good enough, because behind us, there are all kinds of other vendors for the educational market. There is internet. There are corporations that have gotten into education. There are private nonprofit organizations. But there are lots of other ways for people to, quote, get an education. And so if you could imagine a cocktail party about 1970 with General Motors executives and Toyota executives. And if a GM executive had heard a Toyota executive say, hey, by 1990, you're going to be losing $4 billion, they never would have believed it. And they couldn't see a Toyota in the rearview mirror, so to speak. In higher education right now, this we're expensive, we're big, we're lavish, we are important or think we're important in the world. We can't see a Toyota gaining in our rearview mirror in a passing lane. That's what I think is happening. And so part of the revolution is in the way we package and organize ideas, how we move ideas into the world, how we certify people. But for a young student coming out of high school, if a young person wants to get a really good education, the model now is you have to go to a college or university. Why? Because that's where the information is, and those are the people who can certify you. But internet has broken the monopoly of information. It used to be locked up in the library. That's now out in the public. There are lots of ways to get that. And so a student thinking about spending $100,000 for a four-year degree can spend a lot less than that and do maybe as well. And I am opposed to that idea because that's not liberal education. You know, if
data gathering, but it may not be.
Yeah, it's data gathering. That's exactly right. And I think that what has to happen in part is a reinvention of the liberal arts. I think they are very important. But we in the liberal arts profession, I think, are about as complacent as General Motors was about 1970.
We seem to be very confused. Is this a bad time to raise this?
Yes, it is a bad time, but you may raise it.
Well, I want to say, we seem to be confused about what education is, and you've thought about it and written about it, and soon we will want to talk about it.
When we come back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Let's do this quickly so we can come right back with David Orr. Bill Russell and I are sitting with David Orr in the midst of a really important, unusual, and quite beautiful building here in Oberlin, Ohio. We'll all be back in just a minute.